About 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago, Palm Sunday? So about 2 weeks ago, Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, we journeyed with Jesus on his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we journeyed with Jesus. He began at the Mount of Olives. And he came down the Mount of Olives. He crossed over the Kidron Valley. He ascended up the hillside to Jerusalem. He went through those eastern gates of the city. And then once he entered into Jerusalem, he went to the temple. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we've looked and we've seen the significance of each one of those stops along Jesus' journey as we went with him. We saw the significance. It began with his coming down amidst the praise and adoration of the people as he descends down the Mount of Olives. And then once he descends, he's there at the Kidron Valley. And he crosses over the Kidron Valley, representing how he crosses over all of our spiritual rubbish. Then he ascends up to Jerusalem. He enters into the city through those eastern gates. And we saw that great prophecy from Isaiah in Isaiah 62, cheering Jesus on through those gates as he said, go through the gates. And as Jesus entered into the gates, it represents to us the access that we now have into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus is in Jerusalem. We saw that Jerusalem, the name Jerusalem, means possession of peace. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, each one of us who receives Jesus, we've received his perfect peace. We have his shalom peace and all that that means. And then Jesus, once he entered into the city of Jerusalem, he goes to the temple. And seeing that the hour is late, he returns with his disciples to Bethany. And we saw that the name Bethany means house of unripe fruit. And from that, we learned that the spiritual hour is late. Jesus saw the hour was late. The spiritual hour is late. And there is much unripe fruit around us. In other words, fruit that is not yet ready for the harvest. It's our responsibility to make the unripe fruit around us, to prepare that unripe fruit for the harvest by bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I've just encapsulated in 2 weeks what we've talked about. And at the end of last week, we talked about that wonderful parable that Jesus gave. And in that parable, Jesus said to us, occupy until I come. And we saw that the word occupy literally means to trade in something or to exchange in something. We are to exchange as believers in Jesus Christ. It means to exchange and to trade for gain and for to receive or to receive things for him. So we are to exchange the gospel of Jesus Christ with others so that they can exchange death for life. This is how we occupy until he comes. And last week, at the end, I told you guys, any of you, I encouraged you to write your names on a piece of paper and to put the name of somebody that you were praying for salvation and that we were going to exchange. And so those of you that did, many of you did, you put your names on there and you put the names of the people that you wanted us to pray for, and Donna's done that. She's exchanged. If you put a name, your name and someone else's name to pray for, if you did that last week, Donna's already exchanged that with you. And you have someone else to pray for. So while you are praying for someone you don't even know, somebody who doesn't know who you're praying for is praying for them. Don't take that lightly. I've already spent a lot of time in prayer with that person that I got, that I received. So take that seriously. And let's pray for those. Because it is our job to bring those people into the season is late. The hour is late. Let's bring them in. So that's what we've done over the last 2 weeks. Now, that day that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he began the day and he ended the day at the Mount of Olives. And today what I want to do is, with spiritual eyes, I want to see the significance of the Mount of Olives. So there's a number of pictures. Donna and I chose this picture. There's a number of pictures about the Mount of Olives. But if you were in Israel, then you remember the Mount of Olives is so much happened at the Mount of Olives. This is the Mount of Olives, and this is looking from Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. People are always surprised because we think of mountains as being so big, it looks kind of small there, but that's the way that the mountains are in Israel. But this is the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives, why is it called the Mount of Olives? It was the place of olive groves. And still today, there remains ancient olive trees there on the Mount of Olives, and specifically in and just outside the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, Donna has a picture. There are some ancient trees. They have some that they know. They've done DNA testing. They know that some of these trees are close to 1,000 years old. There's speculation that some of the trees there may be 2,000 years old. You might be looking at trees that were present when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's just a powerful, powerful place to be. So the olive itself was a vital part of the daily life of the people who were living in biblical Jerusalem. They used it for food, they used it for cooking, it was part of their trading and part of their selling. So it was vital to their daily existence. But olive was just important to so much that was spiritually, it represents so many spiritual things. It's the olive wood that was one of the prevalent materials that Solomon used to build Solomon's temple. The oil of the olive. The oil itself is used to light the lamps in the temple. And it's the oil of the olive that is used to anoint the kings. And you see this multiple times in the Bible, to anoint the kings and to anoint the priests. Oil also represents the Holy Spirit. And according to Revelation chapter 5, today, you and I, we are the kings and priests of God today. So you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are anointed in the Holy Spirit to serve Him. You can just see how powerful the symbolism and the imagery is, all that centers on olives and the olive trees. And that's what the Mount of Olives is representing. Think about this. The first tree to grow following the Genesis flood was the olive tree. The olive tree, it represents, because of that, it represents renewal of life. But more than that, it represents renewal of life following God's judgment on sinful men. Listen to this. This is Genesis chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came in the evening and beheld a freshly plucked olive leaf. Please note it's a dove that did this as well, talking about how, you know, oil represents the Holy Spirit. The dove also does. A freshly plucked olive leaf that was in her mouth, and no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So that's what we just saw. So again, you see that the olive tree is that sign of the renewal of life following God's judgment on sinfulness, the sinfulness of men. But now, consider this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, that is where Jesus agreed to take upon himself, the judgment of sin. He agreed to take all of God's judgment for sin upon himself. He took the wrath. He took all the judgment for all sin. And so we see from what he was doing there in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, here's Jesus doing the same thing. He is preparing to do. What he's going to do is going to bring renewed life. It's going to bring eternal life for all who would follow after him. We see that in the Gospels, in Matthew. This is chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply depressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here, watch with me." He went a little bit farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup," talking about the judgment, the wrath of God to be poured out, "let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you." You can see Jesus taking, it's in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the Mount of Olives, that he is taking on his role to receive all that judgment for us. And even the Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane itself, I love names. You know what Gethsemane means? It means the olive press. You know, in ancient Israel, if you've ever been in Israel, you can still see some of these. This is how they would press olives. They have this big, huge basalt wheel. Huge, heavy wheel. and it spins around in a on top of another stone that has grooves in it, and you put all the olives in there, and it just goes around in a circle, and it flattens all of these olives. It crushes them, and it gets all the oil, which drains out all out of it. So Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So look, here's Jesus in the flesh, God as man. And look at how Jesus is severely pressed in the garden on the Mount of Olives. This is what it says. Listen to the description from Luke chapter 22, verses 42 through 44. Saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He's being severely pressed. And look how severely he's pressed. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You can just see all the power of the symbolism. I mean, look at how powerful all the symbolism is with olives and with the Mount of Olives. And so you can see how important it is that Jesus begins and ends his triumphal entry. It's not for no reason. There's a purpose. He begins and ends his triumphal entry from the Mount of Olives. So with that understanding, I now want us to think about this. Let's consider the direction of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. Because Jesus came from the east, so the Mount of Olives is east of Jerusalem. So Jesus is starting at the east, Jerusalem's over here. Jesus is in the east, and he's going west to Jerusalem and to the temple. Now, what possible difference could it make that he's going from the east to the west? What can it possibly matter? Well, think about this. Jesus' triumphal entry, the route that he took on that triumphal entry, is the reverse. It is the exact opposite route that we read about in the Old Testament when we read about the Spirit of God departing from the temple and from Jerusalem. It makes a difference. This is truly the first step. When Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, it is the first step in the Spirit of God returning to the temple, but it's not going to be to that temple. It's the first step in the Spirit of God returning to the temple, but now he's going to return to the temple of each one of us. It's such powerful imagery. So let's go back and think about Jesus is coming from the east, going to the west. We know that Ezekiel tells us about the Spirit of God departing from the temple and from Jerusalem. So we know this, and here's how we know it, because God showed this to the prophet Ezekiel in a vision. He showed Ezekiel. Ezekiel got to see the Spirit of God departing from the temple, from where God met with men. And in his vision, Ezekiel saw right into the Holy of Holies. Listen, that doesn't happen. No one is allowed into the Holy of Holies except for one priest one time a year. And yet, here God is giving a vision so that Ezekiel can see into the Holy of Holies as the Spirit of God is departing. Ezekiel's getting to see one of the saddest moments in the history of human events when the Spirit of God rejected is departing from his people. Nobody sees this, but God wanted you and I to see it. And so we see it vicariously through the eyes and through the description that Ezekiel gives us. So the Spirit departed, began its departure in Ezekiel chapter 9. This is good. This is Zeke. This is your name we're talking about, buddy. This is Ezekiel. So in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse number 3, the background of this is the people of Judah, they've already been in exile. They're in exile in Babylon because they've rejected God. And now what we're seeing is the Spirit of God. But here's the key. We're watching the Spirit of God slowly, slowly depart from the temple, from Jerusalem. Ezekiel 9:3. Now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. Now the rest of this I'll read it to you, but for our sake, I'm just really concerned about that first part. And he called the man clothed in linen and had the writer's inkhorn at his side. So what I want us to see, I'm going to show you a picture or an illustration of the holy place. So this is the holy place, and then you're also going to see within that the Holy of Holies. Because this is what I want us to see. What's taking place? Ezekiel is describing what is taking place in the holy place. And what you're going to see is the Ark of the Covenant. When it says in verse number 3 that the Spirit of God lifted up above the cherubs, what is it talking about? Well, if you can't get it? Oh, okay. So this is a look at the temple. So this is the holy place here. Beyond right here, this is actually where the veil would be, and then that is the Holy of Holies. So here's what Ezekiel is describing. You really can't see it, but I want you to see it. This is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you really can't see it here, but if you know, we've all seen the Ark of the Covenant, what it looks like. What's the cherub? The cherub are on top of the Ark of the Covenant. There's those two angels, cherub, angels. They're on either side of the mercy seat with their wings coming back this way. Those are called cherub. It's part of the design of the Ark of the Covenant. It is on the mercy seat, and the mercy seat is where God meets with men. Now, these are also cherubs that Solomon had placed into the temple. So here's what Ezekiel is describing. Ezekiel is saying that the presence of God meets with men right here. But as God's Spirit is departing, Ezekiel is seeing that moment when the Spirit of God is lifting up over these cherubs and is beginning to make its way out through the temple and out to the doors, to the gates. This is what Ezekiel is seeing at that very moment. Ezekiel 9, verse 3. Now, I want you to see how slowly this happens. Let's go to the next chapter. In Ezekiel chapter 10, verse number 4, it says, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub, paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory." This is a full chapter later. The Spirit began to depart in Ezekiel 9:3. This is Ezekiel 10:4, a full chapter later. And look, the Spirit of God is still lingering at the door of the temple. This is a dynamic moment when the cloud of God's presence fills the temple with the brightness of His glory. And it is showing us, it's poignantly symbolizing and similar to another moment, much like this, but a much more joyous moment. And that's the moment when Solomon dedicated the temple. So remember what we just read, and then listen to this. This is 2 Chronicles 7, verses 1 through 3. Are y'all picturing this in your mind? Y'all didn't sound like you're picturing your mind. Are you picturing your mind? Use your artistic minds. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down. So this is Solomon dedicating the temple. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Joyous moment. So joyous, the priest, the glory of the Lord is so full in the temple that the priest could not enter the house. The presence of God is so thick, the priest cannot even enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces, just as Jeff was talking about earlier, to the ground on the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good. For the mercy, His mercy endures forever." What a joyous moment that was! But it's very similar to the moment we see in Ezekiel. But now Ezekiel has given us a moment where once again we see the cloud of God, the cloud of His presence, once again fills the house. But not with joy. It fills the house in preparation for departing. And again, we can see how slowly the Spirit of God departs from the temple and even from Jerusalem. Still in Ezekiel chapter 10, but we're going down a lot more verses. You see how slow this is. Go down to verses 18 and 19. "Then the glory of the Lord departed." This is what Ezekiel is saying, seeing. "The glory of the Lord departed from the threshold." So he's now left the temple doors. "And he stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them. And they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. and the glory of the Lord of Israel was above them. So now we see that on the wings of the actual, the real cherubim, before we were looking at, you could see the Spirit of the Lord lifting up over the cherubim that were the design of the Ark of the Covenant. That's exactly what Ezekiel saw. But now Ezekiel is seeing on the wings of the real cherubim, these angels that are always, ever present with God, on the wings of these cherubim, God's Spirit is lifted up. It goes out of the temple, and it goes to the east gates of the temple area. Now, I want to show you a map because I want you to see how important. When you see these things, you can see exactly what God is doing. So I want you to see a map of Israel. So this is the Mount of Olives. This is east. This is the Kidron Valley. This is Mount Moriah. Right here you can see this is the temple enclosure. Right here is the temple. Now, what we're seeing is what we just read. He's at the east gates. I want you to see that the Spirit of God is facing east. He's facing across. He's looking across the Kidron Valley, and he's facing towards the Mount of Olives. So the Spirit of God departs. This is the temple. Right back here, this is as far west as you can get in the temple. This is the Holy of Holies. So we've seen the Spirit of God leaving the Holy of Holies, leaving through the temple, coming here to the east gate. And here at the east gate, the Spirit of God is facing towards the Mount of Olives. It is the exact opposite of what we see Jesus doing on his triumphal entry. Jesus is coming from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley into the eastern gates, and he goes to the temple. It's the exact opposite that we see taking place. And there's purpose in this, because Jesus is turning things around. He's changing things. He's reversing things. But it's so significant to be able to see God, the Spirit of God, facing towards the Mount of Olives. So we see that slow departure of the Spirit of God continue. So we last saw him right there at the eastern gates, looking east towards the Mount of Olives. But now we see that slow departure continues, but it's slow. We don't see the next movement of the Spirit of God for yet another chapter. Look how long it's taking for the Spirit of God to depart. We started in Exodus chapter 9, verse number 3. Now we're moving on to Exodus chapter 11, verse number 23. I'm sorry, Ezekiel. He is exiting, but yes, Ezekiel. Thank you for knowing what I meant, not what I said. Donna has to do this a lot in life. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. We just saw that's the Mount of Olives. It's the mountain that's on the east side of the city. And the glory of the Lord went up in the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. So now we see the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is rising up above Jerusalem. And the Spirit of the Lord crosses over the Kidron Valley. And the Spirit of the Lord goes to the Mount of Olives. And there on the Mount of Olives, the Spirit of the Lord stood. Stood actually means this. It means to remain motionless. It means to stay behind. And it also means this. It means to hold back from doing something. You can see the heart of God, the tenderness of God, God's love for his people, God's love for being with his people. It reflects today God's love with being for you. You can see the heart of God. Even though he's been rejected by the people, he remains there on the Mount of Olives. He remains there holding back from his imminent departure. That is the love of God. That's the love of God that he still has for you and I today. Man, the patience God has for us. And it stood there. And then there on the Mount of Olives, that's the last place we see the Spirit of the Lord from Ezekiel. The Spirit of the Lord departs from the Mount of Olives. So we've seen the Spirit of the Lord departing from the Holy of Holies, from the Ark of the Covenant, from the mercy seat where God meets with men, departs from the temple, through the east gates, over the Kidron Valley, to the Mount of Olives. And there we see that God himself departs. So Ezekiel shows us the Spirit of God reluctantly departing, going from west to east, temple, east gate, Kidron Valley, Mount of Olives. Now, 500 plus years later. That happened, and then 500 plus years later, now we see Jesus making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But he has turned things around. He's going in the opposite direction. The Spirit of the God left this way in a direct line, and Jesus is coming this way, right back to the same area. He's coming from the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, through the east gates, to the temple area. In Ezekiel's day, the Spirit of God made its final departure from the Mount of Olives. But now here we see Jesus, God in the flesh, reversing the order, turning things around spiritually, reversing the order of things spiritually. It's the change that we see. So God, Jesus himself, went to the temple. Again, that's the first step. The first step in the Spirit of God returning to the temple. But now we are the temple of God. Now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is who we are. So just a little bit after the time, in fact, the following week after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that following week, Jesus gives his life as a sacrifice for us. And then 3 days later, he rises back up to live once again, defeating sin and death. And then 40 days after his crucifixion, then Jesus ascends to heaven to be seated at the right hand of Father God in complete victory. Where did Jesus ascend to heaven from? Mount of Olives. The very place where the Spirit of God departed is the very place where Jesus himself ascends in complete victory so that you and I can become the temples of the Holy Spirit for him. And remember, Jesus himself said, I must depart, then I will send the Holy Spirit. He said that in John. This is John chapter 16. John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, he ascended to the right hand of the Father in victory. Because I depart, I will send him to you. So today, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. That's us. Jesus has reversed the spiritual situation. The Spirit left one way, Jesus reversed it spiritually and came back the other way. Now, we are the temples. So Jesus went to the temple. We now are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus has reversed things, now here in the church age that we live in, now the power of the Holy Spirit works through us. That's what we learned that in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 20, we now are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God, his power, works through us, through you and I. Now look what happened after Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives in the presence of his disciples. Look what happened. This is Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. Then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out, preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. Now remember, the Mount of Olives represents olives, and it represents the oil that was used to anoint kings and priests. This is you and I today. It was just less than a week and a half after Jesus ascends up into heaven. Less than a week and a half after that, we read in the book of Acts that in Jerusalem, Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit upon men. This is poured out upon us. Remember, the Holy Spirit, part of what the Holy Spirit is represented by is oil. You and I, we are the kings and we are the priests of God today in service to Jesus. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been anointed in the oil of the Holy Spirit. This is who we are. This is what we're called to be. And just like the disciples, what did the disciples do? It says they return back to Jerusalem. We do the same thing. We go back to Jerusalem, back to the heart. What is Jerusalem? I told you 2 weeks ago. It is the center of the world. It is the spiritual heart of the world. The disciples, after Jesus spoke to them and he ascends into heaven, they went back to Jerusalem. We go back to Jerusalem, back to the world. But we go back as the temples of the Holy Spirit. We go back as the temples of the Holy Spirit, operating in his power, in his strength. And we take the word of God with us back to the world. And what do? We praise him, we give the word, and we confirm the word of God, Jesus. We confirm the word with signs and wonders. You see, when you pray, it makes a difference. When you pray, it does matter. Whether you see the results right now or not, this is who you and I are. You're the kings and the priests, anointed in the oil of the Holy Spirit. His power works through us. This is who we are. And we should expect to see results. Expect when you pray, you are going to pray over people's lives. And you're going to see healing, you're going to see deliverances, you're going to see the supernatural, and you're going to see the miraculous. Because this is who you are. And he has sent us back to Jerusalem. This is what you will see. Somebody say, I believe that. Amen. Yes, that's what you're going to do. That is what we are going to see. So next week, what I want to do is I want to continue to show you just some more revelations about how significant the Mount of Olives is. And in understanding that, also your role and my role as temples of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. But let me end with this. We're going way back further in time with Jesus. We're going back to the time when the disciples had just had the Last Supper with Jesus. And after that Last Supper, it says that, so they had their Last Supper on Mount Zion. That's as far west as you can go. And after the Last Supper, it says they sang a hymn and they were singing. And what did they do? They returned. You can even see symbolically, here are the disciples. They are coming from the west. They're coming, they go across Mount Zion. They go across, I'm going the other way for you. They go across Mount Zion. Mount Moriah and the temple, they're going down the Kidron Valley, and they're coming back up the Mount of Olives. That's where they're going. And they're singing a hymn. They're joyous. They just had the Last Supper. Here's how it reads that. Now, this is Matthew 26, verse number 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went up to the Mount of Olives. I want you to picture that. There the disciples are going to the Mount of Olives, singing, rejoicing, filled with the joy of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go ahead about 40 days from then. And after Jesus ascends up into heaven, we see the disciples once again. And Luke's account tells us that the disciples, it says that they are coming back down after the ascension. They're coming back down from the Mount of Olives. And they're going back to Jerusalem. And you can see the joy that they have. And you can see that they are praising God as they're doing it. This is what I want us to conclude this morning. We see the disciples, and they are filled with joy. They go up to the Mount of Olives, and they are filled with joy after the ascension of Jesus Christ. Back, filled with joy, blessing his name. Let's you and I conclude this morning with a song. And let's sing, and let's praise him with worship that is worthy of your Mount of Olives experience with Jesus Christ. Amen?